outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Build me up again. Cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
Make me to be. Good morning, my good people. It is Saturday, and it is time for those of us of Running for Christ Ministries and the Blog Talk listeners to go to school. Let us open in prayer. Father, this morning, we thank you. We are here to be filled up again. We are here not just to just gain more knowledge about you, Lord. We want revelation. We want you to reveal yourself to us individually and collectively so that we may grow and do what you have called us to do. So we just ask Holy Spirit that you saturate this space and teach us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody's ready. You got your Bibles. You got your preferred beverage for the morning. And hopefully you have your sheet. We are continuing, we believe, not just knowing what, but why. And we are continuing in our reasons why Jesus had to die. And today is going to require that you track with me as we look at the day of the Lord. So if you have your sheet, someone would please read our key verse this morning.
And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2, verse 15, NIV version.
All right. Thank you, Mother. So this morning we are going to come and gain more knowledge about what this verse actually is talking about in triumphing over the powers and authorities. Let's just do a little recap. What did God intend from the beginning?
Dominion. Man,
that man would dwell with him and reign and rule with him.
Okay. So in the beginning, God created a what?
A garden.
A family. Created a family. And so he was intended for mankind to dwell with each other as family. But what happened? What came from that?
Sin. Sin came
sin
from
is,
that.
Okay. The rebellion went against what God intended. And after that, we have the growing of families, which comes into nations. Mm-hmm. And as nations expanded, the big evil E word came about.
Empire.
Mm-hmm. Empire. Empire. And what are empires known for?
Oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And violence.
Violence, oppression.
Mm-hmm. Creating
they do
lack.
To people. Hmm.
Because that's how they oppress them, with lack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I was just listening to an interesting conversation about capitalism and how capitalism is imploding on itself because it does that very thing. It creates lack. Anyway, some people will probably be coming for me, but if you want to come for me, you know my address. You know how to find me. All right. Well, remember, because we are the people of God, we have got to understand what God intended. And so, because of empire, because of the corruption and the violence and the oppression that continue to seize, we've looked at the history in the world about how God just flooded the world, and then when the Noah and him came off the boat, it picked up again, and it continued, and we've looked at the empires of the world. And so today we're going to talk about this phrase, the day of the Lord. I gave you understanding of it. Somebody read in the story of the Bible for me real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And what did
on
you want to read? On your
sheet,
it says in the story of the Bible.
Okay.
In the story of the Bible.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Loretta.
Story of the Bible, the phrase "the day of the Lord" is often used and points to a time of judgment and restoration.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So most of the time when we hear the day of the Lord, we think of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I've shared with you all before that judgment is a gateway. Judgment is a predicate for justice. There has to be judgment in order to obtain justice. So there has to be judgment made in order for things to be made right. And so in the Bible, let's get a fuller understanding. The day of the Lord, yes, there's judgment, but there's always on the other side justice or restoration. There's a reason why God judges. It's not just to destroy. It is also to restore. So we're going to look at how this plays out in the Old Testament and where it shows up, and then how it leads to why Jesus had to die. So if you would, we're going to start out with plague, Passover, and the Exodus. And no, we are not going to read all those verses that are there, but I want us to go to Exodus chapter 6 and somebody read verses 1 through 7 of Exodus chapter 6.
Okay, Exodus 6, 1 through 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment."
Verse 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 7. "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians."
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So we know the Exodus story. We know the story of Moses and the plagues. And so question number one I ask, who was judged during the plague and why?
The Egyptian?
The Egyptian?
Egypt.
Okay. Let's see, I'm listening because somebody might remember what each plague was a direct attack against.
Oh, it was against the religions, the various gods of the Egyptians.
Yes. And we know that behind every god there is a what?
A spirit.
An evil spirit.
An evil spirit. So this is a dual attack, isn't it? It's judgment against Egypt for its treatment of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Egypt is one of our first major empires that we encounter in the Bible. And we know, what did they do to Israel?
Enslaved them.
Was it good slavery where they learned some skills and they got to put a few coins in their pocket?
No.
Slavery is never good because it wasn't what God intended.
You can say that again, sister.
I said slavery is never good because it wasn't what God intended.
Can we understand that? And so she just gave you an answer for people that are like, well, slavery is in the Bible. It was never good because it was never what God intended. Because God never intended for humans to dominate each other. They will have dominion over fish, the creation, the birds, the land. They will have dominion over that to help it flourish and do what it needed to do and create, but they were never to dominate one each other. So when people come with slavery, it was in the Bible, finish it. And it was wrong everywhere it was. Well, in the law against slavery, it were conditions that were put around it because God knew how sinful man was. Anyway,
yeah.
That's my tirade for this morning. Okay, so slavery was never, because remember, let's go with what she said, is not only attack or not only judgment on Egypt for what they did to Israel, but the gods of Egypt. Who were supposed to, why? Oh, let me not go there. She said that we know that behind every god there's an evil spirit. There's a spirit that is anti-God, that's going against what God intended. So if God intends for people to do what?
Flourish. Mm-hmm.
Then there's an anti-God spirits that don't intend for people to do what?
Flourish.
And so every god of Egypt is a representative of what they put their faith and trust in. So as God is assaulting with the frogs and gnats and killing crops with locusts and hail, as he's attacking each one of these gods, and you can look it up, there's a chart about what each god was represented for each plague. As he's doing these things, not only is he dealing with Egypt, but he is dealing with the spirits behind the gods of Egypt. Because they're not who?
They're not God.
All right. I'm going to keep going now. So we now, who was, and who was judged?
Egypt.
And Egypt's God.
Thank God.
God. Yeah. And including Pharaoh, because remember, Pharaoh considers himself Ra, God on earth. That's what that last plague was about. The firstborn, that was a direct attack on Pharaoh, all right? Because remember, Pharaoh killed the baby boys back in the beginning. All right, so now, and why did he bring about judgment on them?
So they would know who God is.
What did they do to bring about God's judgment?
They went to God. They prayed because he heard their groanings.
My question.
No.
What did Egypt do to bring about God's judgment?
They enslaved God's people. And they enslaved God's people.
All right. I love all this. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's great. Everybody's in there. Okay. So now, let's go to question two. Remember Passover, right?
Yes.
Which we find in chapter 12. The knight put the blood on the doorpost. We read through this.
Okay.
And when the death angel passes through, sees the blood on the door, the Lord said, I'll pass over your house. Okay? So we know Passover is a part of this. But what was Passover also to commemorate? What is happening at Passover?
They are being, at Passover, they are being led out of Egypt. They are being saved by God.
All right. Answer's correct. This is God. Passover is to commemorate the night that God delivers them from Egypt. So that's what they memorialize at Passover. Yes, we focus the blood on the door. That was the means in which protection, that marked them, set them apart. But Passover really was about commemorating God's deliverance from Egypt. Because we know the next morning what happens?
They had to leave.
They left.
The spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get up. They had to go. It was time to go.
Time to go.
So when you think about Passover, yes, it's about death passing over, but more importantly, it is about God's deliverance. So
okay.
Let's look at our definition for the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord points to what?
The day of deliverance.
It points to what according to our definition?
Oh.
Restore.
A time of judgment and restoration. So who got judged?
Egypt and their gods.
And who was restored?
The Israelites.
All right. So even though you don't see the phrase "the day of the Lord" in this
mm-hmm.
in these passages, you see the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we've gone there. Let's keep moving forward. All right. Question 3: What did God do on the day of the Lord? So what did He first do? He did what? I'm gonna help you with that.
He delivered them.
That's one of them. He delivered the people from the empire. He delivered Israel from
mm-hmm.
the empire. Another word could be used as liberated. He set
mm-hmm.
them free. I'm using
mm-hmm.
this language because you're going to hear it again. He set them free from.
Okay.
All right. What was Egypt known for besides enslaving? Kind of another word, starts with an O.
Oppression.
So he judged the oppressor. So God judged the oppressor. God liberated or delivered them from the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when God did all those plagues, sent all those plagues, what was God doing? What was He demonstrating?
That He is Lord of all.
That's
He is God.
All right. What all y'all just
said. He's the Most
High. Yes. He showed His sovereignty over empire. All right, so for those that are filling out their scorecard,
mm-hmm.
God liberated the people from the oppressive empire. God judged the oppressor. And then God showed His sovereignty over empire or the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember back the language in what He read in chapter 6, in verse 6, it said, "Therefore I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free
mm-hmm.
you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment."
So He redeemed and restored them.
Yes. So this is a day of the Lord, if you would. Because we have to understand, I'm working on this myself, and I'm hoping
mm-hmm.
you all are starting to understand. We read the Bible from a Western perspective, and so we think differently. We want sequence, and we want order, and we want to A to B, and we want absolutes. Where if we were ensconced in the people who actually were writing the Bible in their world, they didn't think like that. They think more broader concepts. This is a big word. It's called meta-narrative. It's the bigger story that's happening with these little pieces of stories within this bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the day of the Lord is a meta-narrative of the scripture. It's a bigger story, but within it we get snippets and glimpses of it. All right? So let's keep going. Let's get to the judgment of an empire. We're going to Isaiah. I need somebody to turn and read Isaiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll look at another passage from our Old Testament prophet. 13, 1 through 11.
It reads as follows. A prophecy against Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop. Shout to them. Beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded those I prepare for battle. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath, those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his wrath, to destroy the whole country. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming. A cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. Amen.
Amen. Okay, now I know some of you all were probably like, ooh, I see something.
Mm-hmm.
Who is being judged here?
Babylon.
Babylon. All right. And at the time of Isaiah, Judah, the southern kingdom, is still under their kings. They haven't gone into captivity yet. So this prophecy, this oracle, predates Babylonian destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a prophecy. It's a telling forward, something that's going to happen. And again, Israel hasn't even gone into captivity yet in Babylon. So we know historically this prophecy is very accurate. All right, but in this prophecy, what does Babylon represent? Let's see if y'all get this.
Oppression and violence.
Okay, so oppression and violence, and the bigger word we use, the umbrella for that is what?
Empire.
Empire. Hey, guess what? Guess who's getting the car today?
All right.
You get, I'm sorry, it's a matchbox, but you can get there.
I'll take it.
All right. So empire, Babylon represents empire, because remember, Babylon rises to be the greatest empire. Babylon is actually even greater than the Roman Empire, believe it or not. Rome was big. But Babylon, remember that head of gold on the statue?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this will help you also with your Bible reading as you get to the book of Revelation. When you hear or see the term Babylon in the book of Revelation, it is not talking about a place. It is talking about what?
Empire.
So any empire. Because remember, empire is anti what God intended. It's anti-kingdom.
Yeah.
All right. So that'll help you in your reading. Okay. So you got that. Who was judged? Babylon, and they represent empire. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is their judgment referred to? Twice he says it in the passage.
The day of the Lord?
Yes. The day of the Lord. And we're going to look at later some pictures that we see there that show up again somewhere else. Go to Joel chapter 3. And somebody read verses 9 through 16. Little book, big prophecy. Joel.
Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for holy war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the men of war advance and attack. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning knives into spears. Let even the weaklings say, I am a warrior. Come quickly, all you surrounding nations. Gather yourselves. Bring down your warriors there, Lord. Let the nations be roused and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit down to judge all the surrounding nations. Swing the sickle because the harvest is ripe. Come and trample the grapes because the winepress is full. The wine vats overflow because the wickedness of the nations is extreme. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will cease their shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and make his voice heard from Jerusalem. Heaven and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the Israelites.
All right. So again, you see the language. What is it? What is this day called?
The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. And remember, the day of the Lord is about what?
Judgment. And restoration.
Judgment and restoration. All right. I need you to get this because it's important. Because remember, we're asking the question, why did Jesus have to die? We're going to see something here coming up. All right. So let's look at our next question. Question 6. Mm-hmm. What empire is ruling when the First Testament closes? Anybody remember?
When the First Testament closes?
When the First Testament closes and the Second Testament opens.
Babylon? Is it first?
Remember we went through our history?
Roman.
Roman Empire is ruling. Roman Empire is ruling. Okay? So, powerful empire, right?
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. Cruel empire, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Violent, oppressive. All right. So, because I just answered question 7, what are they known for? What were the Romans known for?
Violent, oppressive. Slavery.
Oppressive. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Taxation without representation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and that's what empires are known for, period. So that's question 7. Empires are known for oppression, enslavement, violence, anti-kingdom, anti-what God intended. They dominate. They don't take dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Dominion, they dominate. All right. So now let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Let somebody read verses 1 through 6. Nobody?
Malachi chapter 4, verse 1.
Verses 1 through 6.
For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall. You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. Remember the instruction of Moses, my servant, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Look, I am going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse.
All right. So now, this is one of those chapters that's real short, but if you see the heading up at the top of the chapter in some Bibles, what does it say?
The coming day of judgment.
The day of the Lord.
Or in depth, and it says the day of the Lord. So remember, day of the Lord is about judgment. And restoration.
Mm-hmm.
So question 8, who will God send before that great and dreadful day of the Lord?
The Son of Righteousness. Jesus.
Look at verse 5.
Would that be? Oh, the prophet Elijah.
Now, we know at this point, Malachi is the last book of this testament. Elijah's been dead a while, hasn't he? Remember, he served during the kings of Israel. So, can't be Elijah, is it?
No.
Anybody know who this is?
It's John the Baptist.
It is John the Baptist. Yes. John the Baptizer, if you would.
Wow.
Yes, he is the one like Elijah who will come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Remember, negative words don't always have negative meaning. Terrible. Terrible generally does mean something bad. But dreadful, it doesn't, it's more of an emotion. It's a fuller way of like, ooh, something big is going to happen or something. I'm dreading it, but it's going to be, it might not be a bad thing that's happening and I'm dreading. So here we have Elijah, John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is a herald. He is the one who is proclaiming. What is John the Baptist's message when he begins to preach? Let me see it.
One greater than him will come.
Okay. And John the Baptist says something that we are very familiar with. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And somebody read verses 1 and 2.
In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. This message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
All right. So repent for what?
The kingdom of heaven is near,
or has drawn near, or has come near. It's coming. This is the same message that who repeats in Mark?
Jesus.
And remember, kingdom is the opposite of what?
Empire.
So he's saying, John the Baptist, the message that he is declaring is that the kingdom is here. This his Elijah-like message. And if you read about John the Baptist, he and Elijah had a lot of similarities. You know, the way they dressed, their food, their kind of weird behavior. Okay, but they were hardcore. All right, so now let's look at the ultimate day of the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 4. The scripture is very near and dear to me. Luke chapter 4, and somebody read verses 18 and 19.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Mother, you go, definitely.
Spirit of the Lord is upon me. for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.
Thank you very much. All right. So here we have, who is reading from the book of Isaiah here, or the scroll of Isaiah?
Jesus.
And, you know, this is where he says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know, in other words, what I just read, today it's happening. Because remember, the day of the Lord is about what?
Judgment and restoration.
So look carefully, and let's break this down. It's a declaration that Jesus made. Mm-hmm. The first thing he says is he's anointed to do what?
To bring good news to the poor.
Good news. Euangelion, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good news, what we call the gospel. He's bringing good news. So and who is he bringing it to?
The poor.
The poor.
The poor. Those that were lacking something. Those that are in need of something. Because of what? Why would people be lacking something?
Because they're oppressed by an empire.
Dominated.
Okay. Then the next thing, he's been sent to proclaim what?
Captives will be released.
Captives to be released. Where have we seen captives released?
Egypt.
In Exodus. So he's declaring another Exodus. Okay. What else does he say? The what? The recovery of something.
The blind.
And this is both spiritual and physical blindness, because we know more than once Jesus heals physical blindness, but also spiritually blind. Mm-hmm. Later on, he goes on to say about the Pharisees, you blind guides, you can't see. And then the Lord says, he blinded them. He blinded people so they couldn't see because they would not turn to him. All right, but now he's saying that the blind will see. And then lastly, he says to release who?
The captives
or the oppressed. So you see, this is anti-empire language that Jesus is using. He's coming against empire. The Spirit of the Lord is on him to come against, to destroy empire by making things the way God intended. Oh, to restore things back to the way God intended. So this is Day of the Lord language that Jesus is using here. All right. Following?
Got it.
Now you're about to put together what we've been reading. There's some pictures that appear of the Day of the Lord at the cross. Let's take a look at them. Somebody go to Luke. Let's all go to Luke chapter 23. And somebody read verses 44 and 45.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two.
Okay. So the first thing we see there is what stopped shining?
The sun.
All right. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Isaiah 13. And somebody look, let's look at verse, and somebody read verse 10. Start at verse 9. Read verse 9 and 10.
Yeah.
For see, the day of the Lord is coming, the terrible day of his fury and fierce anger. The land will be made desolate, and all the sinners destroyed with it. The heavens will be black above them. The stars will give no light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will provide no light.
Okay. So now, on the day on when Jesus died, what happened?
The sun failed to shine.
The sun didn't
shine.
And Isaiah is prophesying that in the day of the Lord, what will happen?
The curtains will.
The sun will stop shining. It'll be
dark. The sun will stop shining. It'll be dark. Go to Joel chapter 3. Go back to Joel. And read again, read verse 15 and 16.
Sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will no longer shine.
And verse 16.
The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a strong fortress for the people of Israel.
Okay. So now, your Joel says that what's going to happen?
The sun going to stop shining.
And also something else Joel adds.
The Lord speaks.
Keep going. The earth will shake. The heavens and the earth will shake. What else happened when Jesus died on the cross?
A great earthquake.
The earthquake.
So Isaiah prophesies that in the day of the Lord, sun, it'll be dark.
Mm-hmm.
Joel prophesies on the day of the Lord that it'll be dark. And the earth will shake. And on the day that Jesus is on the cross, died.
All that happened.
The sun didn't shine, and the earth shook.
Mm-hmm.
So can we kind of draw a conclusion that the day that Jesus died was a day of the Lord? Was about judgment and restoration?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going because I got goosebumps over here because this excited me when I saw this the other day. All right. Let's look at Jesus' final words on the cross and let's put a bow on this. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 45. Not 20, 45. How about 25? Because I don't think there are 45 chapters in Matthew. Not 25 either. Okay. I gotta get my scripture together. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Matthew 27:46.
About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you abandoned me?
All right. So what were the words? What was the main phrase that Jesus cried out in English?
My God, why have thou forsaken me?
All right. So that's what goes right there. Got to write that down because in the second, in question 11, we're going to show something. All right. Luke chapter 23
and verse 46. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last.
All All right. So what the words did he say?
I entrust my spirit into your hand.
Okay. Well, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Write that down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the words we're most familiar with found in John chapter 19 and verse 30.
When Jesus had tested, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
All right. And so the words he said were?
It is finished.
It is finished.
It is finished. All right. Okay. Now, question 11. What do Jesus' statements at his death reveal about the day of the Lord? Letter A, I got to give these to you. Letter A goes with Matthew chapter 27, where he says, "Why have you, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying, revealing, is judgment has been made. Because all of the sins, all sin was placed on him. All sin was judged at the cross for all time. So judgment has been made, is letter A.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our verse in Luke, into your hands I commit my spirit. Get this. Empire has no authority over me.
Amen.
Who put Jesus on the cross? Who was crucifying Jesus?
The Romans.
The Roman Empire was physically doing it, and who was partnering with them?
The Israelites.
The rulers of Israel. And then behind the scenes, who was provoking it?
The evil spirits.
The kingdom of darkness, yes, the evil spirits. But let's go to John chapter 10 real quick. And somebody read verse 18.
No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Amen.
So Jesus is saying in John 10 that the rulers of empire, whether they be physical, spiritual, warriors, no empire has the authority to take my life. It has no power over Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you see that. Okay? Now let's get to it is finished. What's finished? It is finished. Remember, the day of the Lord is about judgment, which we have
mm-hmm.
seen, but it's also about what?
Restoration.
So when he said, it is finished, what is finished?
He has restored.
He has restored who specifically?
Mankind.
Mankind. Back to the way God intended in the beginning. Because now, remember, the veil is rent in two. The access is open.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate sacrifice has been made. There is no more separation between God and man. The way has been opened. He has restored the flow to the tree of life, if you would.
Hmm.
So, another reason why Jesus had to die?
Mm-hmm.
To usher in the day of the Lord, the end of empire, and the restoration of humanity.
Wow.
And then I have an asterisk down there. Go ahead, sis.
I was just going to say, I'm going to have to catch that one again in Sunday school.
Yes. You'll catch it two more times if you're in both other two classes. All right.
So he ushered in the day, the end of empire and the day of the Lord? What was that answer?
He ushered in the day of the Lord, which is the end of empire, which is judgment,
mm-hmm.
and the restoration of mankind.
Okay.
Now, because we do live in the world of the now, the kingdom is now and
mm-hmm.
not yet. There mm-hmm. is another day of the Lord when what Jesus has done will be fulfilled in our sight. Because right now
mm-hmm.
we don't see the end. We see empire still very much at work in our lives, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes. But as every one of us, which is the lessons that are coming forward, submit to the kingdom, we do what Jesus did to empire. That's a whole other thing. And then one day, when Christ returns, all empire will be defeated completely, done away with. Defeated now. Remember our memory verse, which we're going to close with? And having disarmed the powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Hmm.
At the cross, Jesus defeated empire and restored humanity. So it's a few more pieces. That diamond's getting, we're looking at more sides of that diamond.
Yeah.
All right, next week. I have to move on and move to the resurrection, but I hope we got some new looks at the death of Jesus.
Wow.
Yes, it is about our sins, but it's so much more. It's so much more. And the more we understand about that, the more, come on, y'all, the more we love him, the more we
yes.
know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The more empowered we are to live for him. Because
I feel a sense of peace just going through this lesson today. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
We're gonna let it sit there with it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on in prayer. Father, thank you so much for revealing to us what some may say was hidden. It wasn't hidden. It was just it's time for us to see it. I thank you for everyone who has sat at your feet and has drank from your fountain that never runs dry. I pray that every aspect that you have commanded for these lessons to go forward in our lives, that we just let them saturate us and make us confident in knowing that we truly do know the true living God through his Son who has paid the ultimate price so that we can have life and that we can have life to the full. We praise you. We thank you. We look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good class.
Yes.
Thank you, Sister Janet. Another great lesson where you just broke it down for us.
All right.
And you were able to understand it. And you know that we truly appreciate you. And have a beautiful day. And
all right. Thank
everybody
you.
For, mm-hmm, thanks, everybody, for participating. Okay. So we're going to start our morning worship service. And you know what you're supposed to do. Get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets. And after this next election, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
Trying to be
ill will made the deep down, deep down, deep down.
persistence, my inconsistencies, and everything that stopped my mission. I'm so obsessed with me and what I'm getting, that times I miss what you've been telling me and what's your vision. I can't even see the bigger picture if my name ain't mentioned. That's not my plan at all. At times I fall to selfishness. I'm helpless if your spirit ain't with me. I need your help in this. Get so consumed in what I don't got that I missed the mark. I'm being transparent with you. At least we have a start. Confess my sin to you. I hope that's what my friends will do. Without you, I'm just filthy rags, dirt on my Timberland boots. I preach it so you hear the truth and know you're not alone. 10 years saved and I still battle issues that I thought were gone. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. Yeah.
For your mercy, and I ask forgiveness for all the people that hurt me. My lack of living water really had me thirsty, but now my thirst is quenched, so I pray for the ones that curse me. How could I not recognize that missing you was an issue? Tough times was hard to get through without wanting to use a pistol, but now I understand the battle wasn't for me, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is running through me, and that the dirty devil's coming, he's gunning for me, but I got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's one in the three. That's why I lift his name up. Don't care about being famous. How could you really blame us? Jesus is the one who changed us. I thank him every day, hour, minute, even second. I'm tearing giants down, excuse me, Mr. Odell Beckham.
When I go with the Reverend Father, I give it you all, let me God, give it you bro. Cut, fun, jump, cause you never left once. I can never repay you, I can never come close, but I praise you, wanna thank you for the grace and the grace and the payment, for the faith and the favor.
This is why I carry out the call for the lost, reaching, teaching people, leading to the cross, yeah. Give you all my time that you bought, you the boss, you the reason I'm redeeming my ball, yeah. Praise you even when I'm going through it. God told me go, and that's the reason why I'm going through it. Lifting up my palms to the one who the throne, who the city, who the faded on the cross.
The enemy can't even attack from the back, cause I've given it back to the Father whenever I can't handle the back. Told Pastor Man, told Dad is that, listen to me that I need him more than I need anything else in the whole world. No pearls compared to the poor world stored elsewhere.
Sun is shining on both sides of the street, on you and on me. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. You know, it's Youth Saturday, and, you know, on the 4th and 5th Saturday of each month, we acknowledge our youth and give them the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning our very own little Princess Innocent Williams, Isaiah Johnson. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Innocent Williams. Why are we here proclaiming? Proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, presented as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins accordingly with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day accordingly with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is thrown of the right hand of God as ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people, affecting his rule, and will come again as final judge. Our reading scripture reading is Matthew 6:25-34. It is titled, Do Not Worry, Here Reads the Word of God. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what will you drink, or about your body. What will you wear? It is not life more than food and body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can one of you, by worrying at a single hour to your life day than they? Can any one of you? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will be not much more clothed you. You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and does the doors of his word. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Zai Gossett. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached words blessed of Jesus, so that all those who are lost today will be found lost today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort that the many breathe. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for all love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Innocent Williams and Isaiah Johnson. Just thank you.
Okay. So now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Innocent and Isaiah. Amen. The Lord loves that. He loves to hear that, and we give the kids the opportunity to become us in the future. Train them up in the way they should go, and when we out of here, they are in here, and we praise God that the work continues. Now, it's Youth Saturday, so we're going to play some songs that sort of speak to them, speak to me a whole lot. But anyway, in this song, I want you to hear, there's a mother in this song. And she's going to speak a little bit at the beginning, and then she's going to really speak at the end. Receive what she says over yourself and over your children, and speak this over your children every single day. Listen to the end of the song. You'll hear it.
Put your hands to do with good results. I'm telling you, I say that the Lord is
good. Hey, let everybody say.
Place his name upon your forehead, and he calls you by his own name. I say that God said if you call upon him, the more that he will bless you, the more. I call you blessed. I call you highly favored. I call you a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, I speak these blessings on you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. If we would speak that over our children every single day, I really believe that all this bad news we hear about young folks who are on their way up somewhere end up shot in the car, we'd stop hearing that. Church, we are the people who can pray. We are the only people on earth who can say, Lord God, our Father. Amen. Jesus said when we pray, say that. We, us, those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name, he told us in John 14, if you ask anything in my Father's name, and then he went on to say, in my name, I think it's God's will that our young folks have a chance to at least grow up, that they not have to suffer violence at home, and they don't have to suffer it in school. And they don't have to suffer it when they go somewhere just to have fun and enjoy themselves. I believe that if we ask God to put a force field like he did around Job, the devil said, I can't get at him because you got a hedge around him. We need a hedge around our children. And we can do that. You know how Job did it? He would pray for his children. He would make a sacrifice to God for their sins just in case they sin. He kept the hedge around them. Can do that. Amen. And then one day, if we live the life of Christ in front of our children, guess what? One day, they'll say, I'm ready to follow Jesus.
I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please.
I don't know.
but I must be young people because I feel like I'm getting blessed by this. You know, I love, you know, I love this, what we call it, what the young folks listen to, because they actually speak to life. I love there's two groups of them. It's one who's a Christian rapper. These are people who mention Jesus in every single song. But then you have Christians who rap. These are people who, they don't mention Jesus, but you can tell he in there. Sort of like the Winans used to do back in the day, okay? Like Mary Mary did. You know, they ain't even say I'm crossing over. They just did it, right, without saying it, and it worked. Amen. But anyway, that's why I love Christian rappers, because they speak to the issues that we face every day, that we, as Christians, we're growing up trying to be like Jesus, and we're going through, okay? And they speak to that. A lot of songs in nature are just inspirational. And they're good, because we need, in this little crazy world, right, where tribulations and trials is normal, amen, that's what Jesus said, in this world you're going to have them, but be enough good cheer is normal too for a Christian, right? But they speak to the real struggles that we go through in life, and that's why I love listening to that music more so than just inspirational music, because Jesus inspires me, okay? I don't need a million songs to do that. But I need songs that speak to the heart, you know, songs like this next one that I'm going to play. It's awesome, okay, but it speaks a real message, because I don't know about you, but sometimes in this life we can really feel alone. We can feel it, really feel like we're like Jacob on a little island somewhere, fighting with the Lord, trying to get a message, trying to get something going. But the Lord reminds us through these songs, and this one is definitely inspirational. It reminds us that we are, no matter what we feel like, no matter what we think, we are never alone. I remember when Jesus said to his disciples that all y'all are going to leave me, and but I'm not going to be alone, because my Father, he's always with me. Amen.
Amen. Ever alone. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. You know, you always take us there. And it's just seems like it's designed for the youth today, and that's what it is, Youth Saturday. And so we thank you for those songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Princess Anasia Hunter, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Anasia Hunter. Pray to the Lord after this selection. Amen.
Shoulders and it's gotten too heavy for me. And y'all know I ain't no Hercules. Life moves on, stuff breaks down, people fall off. Gotta find a way to get over. Gotta find a way to get through, break through, heal you. Struggles they last, and as time passed, it's been one thing after the other. Way to go, I feel so alone, life is so, so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech, I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happened when I pray.
I don't want you to
Good morning. I am Anasia Hunter. Let's go to the altar in prayer. Glory, honor, and power to be you, the power, the God of the universe. You are the one who sent. You are the one who sent His only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. How glad we are that you sent Jesus to save us. How glad we are that you knew each of us before we were even born. How glad we are that you know way more than we do, that you do not make mistakes. So we know that you have picked the families that we would be born into. Even though sometimes we daydream that you should have put us in a richer family or someplace in a farther away city, we know you do not make mistakes, but we make mistakes sometimes. It's just because we are not thinking, and at other times we intentionally do something wrong. So we now ask for your forgiveness for the sins we have committed and will commit in the future. We are so grateful that your word is true in 1 John 1:9, that is where you say that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just will forgive us and cleanse us. What an awesome God we serve in you. You love us so much that you made a way for us to have a relationship with you through Christ Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, you have given us the Holy Spirit as a guide and counselor to show us the way. That's what we ask for this morning, Lord God, for you to show this way. We are young. We are learning. We don't have all answers, but you do. Just like David may not have all the answers about what to do when the giant Goliath was bullying everybody. He did not know what something needed to be done. In your name and to your glory, he was able to come up with a plan. And just like David was able to come to take down a giant, we know that through your power we can take down what might seem like a giant in our lives. In fact, when Jesus was on earth, he said in John 14:12 that as believers in him, we would do great workers. Now then, as believers and followers of Jesus, this is what we ask, that you will guide us through the Holy Spirit into all truth. In this way, no one will ever be able to trick us into foolishness, like taking a drug or holding a gun or lying against anyone. We also ask that by the way of the Holy Spirit, you will give us power to do good work according to your will. Lord, our lives are precious. You made us for a reason, so we do not want to be lazy and not in the sinner. We want to be about your business. If we need to speak about a dark secret that a bad person told us not to talk about, we ask for your help by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to speak up. Lead us to an adult who will listen and who will act. We may not we may not know how to judge these things, but we know you can. Thank you. Thank you for everything you have done. We continue to do and continue to do. You love us and we love you right back. You said the way to show you that we love you is by being obedient. So we will do what you say to do. And we will commit to reading the scriptures so we know what it is you want us to do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Anasia, for praying and making our request known to God. We just thank you. And hey, that's you Saturday. And we just thank the youth for serving today. Let's always keep our youth in prayer, keep them involved in church, and just encourage them to be the best that they can be. Okay? So far, we're having a great time this morning, and I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too, with more to come. I just want to thank our young people for participating this morning, Innocent Williams, Isaiah Johnson, and Anasia Hunter. We thank you, and just keep them in prayer, and all the kids around the world in prayer. We need them to survive. Okay, and I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. As always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday morning worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preached word. A message from God. The very best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this selection is our teacher of our youth, our little people, hey, the young folk, as Pastor Earl said, our sister, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. So prepare to receive Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon as she comes in her own way with a word from the Lord. Let's receive her with an open and warm heart after this selection. Amen.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was seraph flew to me with coal in his hand. said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord. I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you with power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Amen. Amen. Happy Saturday. Happy Youth Saturday. I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and it is more than a pleasure to bring the word today. Before we get started, I want to tell those young ladies that participated today, thank you. Personally, for me, on behalf of Naomi, I'm sure, and the whole youth department, you guys represent us really well. And I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, even if you feel it's insignificant. It is very significant to God's kingdom. And I encourage more youth to continue to participate in church as well. With that being said, let's pray, and we will get started. Lord, thank you for providing a space to be able to hear from you. Thank you for being a vessel to all the families that are represented here on Blog Talk Radio right now and in the future. And just move me all the way out of the way so that they hear directly from you, Lord. Allow children to be enlightened, allow adults to be enlightened, Lord, but allow your spirit to be manifested and manifested there. Thank you for the ability to be able to be at your feet and in your face. And thank you for the sacrifice that was given in order for us to be able to participate. Bless everyone that participated in the service today, in front and behind the scenes. And thank you again just for the grace that you give on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I do thank everyone that participated in services today. And I definitely thank the people that are listening and everyone that are listening later. Today is a very plain day for me, I guess. Me and the Lord were discussing what was the topic. And so Revelation was the topic. And I was like, the book of Revelation? And he was like, no. I am still growing. And so Revelation is, the book of Revelation is still something that I'm growing in, and praise God that I have a bunch of people in my community now. So we're, the book of Revelation is not going to be a hesitating place, if you will, because there is a lot of jewels in that book, to say the least. God really shows his glory, and we see the triumphs of Jesus in Revelation. However, needless to say, I am going to talk about the difference in Revelation when God reveals me. And so I definitely appreciate people that participated today, because I heard the word pop up so many different times. And I was like, oh, Jesus said this is how the Holy Spirit works. And so you are just a piece to the puzzle. And so you just do your part, and everyone else is going to do their part, and then my glory is going to be shown in the end. And that is the goal every time when we come to the Lord, is that we give him all honor and all glory and all praise in spite of what we feel that should be happening. Amen. So I am going to talk about the differences in Revelation, and there is a general revelation, and then there is a special revelation. And I'm going to talk about the differences in that, and then how that ties in and how God is the holder of these things. And so to give a plain definition, reveal means to make known to others what was hidden. And so I tapped in at about 9:52 because I was cleaning up and making breakfast and being a mom and a wife and just spending some time with the Lord. And I heard, as you're going to say, reveal. And I said, oh, there it is. And so I, if you will, my flesh question. And so God is a very sure God. God is a very confident God. And so God, when God says things, God means what he says. And that is just what it is, whether we like it or not, whether we're comfortable or not, whether sometimes we can get too comfortable, right? And so God means what he says when he says the My verse, the first verse that I'm going to take you to today is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. I'll give you a second to get there. And while you're getting there, some synonyms for the word reveal are disclose, to tell, or to divulge. And so, honestly, when you think, the first thing that I think about when I think about reveal is a secret, right, or something that someone didn't want you to know. And then the Lord asked me to step out of my human thinking, and he asked me to step into a spiritual realm, and I said, uh-oh, okay. And he said, when I reveal things to you, they might not always be a secret. And I said, huh? And he said, it's not that they're a secret in general. You just didn't look for that. And I said, ooh, okay. Okay, Lord, here we are. And so Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law, of this law, sorry. And so this is where God allowed me to focus on the verb revealed, and he allowed me to stretch my thinking, right? I'm a teacher, I'm a thinker. Challenging my thinking is a thing for me. And so whether I am being challenged in a positive and or what can be perceived a negative way, I'm in a space now where I want to understand what God wants me to understand in that space. And so I encourage you, as you continue to ask God questions about him revealing things to you, that you ask him, what does he want you to see in that space? And I'll be able to explain that in a little bit. So I say that because when people reveal themselves to you, when you think about it, they're telling them about themselves or something that they know. But God works on some different attributes. And so what a person thought they knew might change later to what they think they don't know anymore. But God is so immutable and unchangeable that his secret things, he says, hey, they'll be revealed to you, and they need to stay concrete between you, your children, your children's children, and your children's children. And so the puzzles began to move in space for me about this revelation word. And I said, okay, Lord, so when we talk about revelation, things that you show us, things that you disclose to us, things that you tell us, right, what's the difference? I was able to sign on for my year two of being a fifth grade teacher. And this year, I have a very different group than last year. Last year's group was very modest, and they moved at a very universal pace, if you will. This year, I have a very interesting group and a very intrinsic group. Out of the 9 children that I have, 6 of them are boys, and I am not a boy mom, to say the least. So things get very interesting in my classroom, and before I began teaching this school year, God asked me what my classroom management strategy was. I didn't know I had 6 little boys in my classroom, not a boy mom. He knew that, though. And so he began to reveal little tiny things about different classroom management strategies, and I began to be inquisitive and research and do some things. And he showed me that little boys need movement and little boys need connect things to make things connect. When things don't connect, they don't care about things. And so, and that's just most of them. That's not every little boy. That's just what I've grown to know so far. I could be completely wrong later. And so, to say the least, God showed me that I am a very simple God. If you ask me what it is that you need and you want me to show you, I'll show it to you. To say that, we are going to go from Deuteronomy and we're going to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. When God wants to disclose things with us, God wants us to have a closer relationship with him and his plan of salvation. It is not because God wants us to get anything out of it. And that is something that a human concept just sometimes just cannot tap their finger around, is that why God doesn't want me to have this. No, God wants us to be prosperous and everything, but everything has to point back to his glory.
everything has to point back to his glory, or then that is you falling into idolatry of some sort. I'm sorry. That is something that the realization of that is very, very thick. However, it is a very humbling experience to understand that God gets the glory out of everything, even washing your dishes. God's supposed to get the glory. And so when you think about that small piece, and God is very, very serious about that, though. Everything has to point back to God's glory in our lives. And when things don't, it's not that he is a condemning God and he's going to, like, but he's going to be, he's going to hold you accountable for those things. And so when we think about children and with it being Youth Sunday and everything, it's through Saturday. I'm sorry. I get Saturday and Sunday mixed up, y'all. I'm a teacher Monday through Friday. Forgive me. When you think about children, children go by example. They watch when I watched the light bulb go off for my parents when it came to giving God glory. And when it came to giving God more glory and more glory and more glory and recognizing God and respecting God and doing more for God and everything like that. Me and my dad always laugh about the fact that we were the first children to, like, render for Christ for real. And we were, like, the first Sunday school. And we were, like, the first cleanup crew and, like, the first set of stage crew and everything like that. But what they were doing was instituting a foundation that God was important. Regardless of what we were going on at home, regardless of what was going on after we got out of church, regardless of how we got to church, regardless if we had to push the car or whatever the case. So there's been situations, y'all. I'm just saying, I learned and my siblings learned that God is your foundation. No matter what, you have to get to God. God has to get the glory somehow. And even when in a space where we all didn't know what was going on and we all were trying to figure out how do we lead a church home and with teenagers, complete teenagers, and we go to a space where they're the first everything in there, other than the pastor, right? Other than the finance team and the pastor, like, we were doing everything. We were the praise team, we were dancing, but God was getting the glory. God was getting the glory. We were being taught that God needed to get the glory in all spaces. So I encourage you to teach our children to ask God to reveal things to them. All right, Romans chapters 19 and 20. I'm going to go back to 18, sorry. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God revealed it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen because understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. God revealed himself, and they didn't listen. And so here we see that God does reveal himself if you ask for that, right? It's our responsibility to receive what God is giving to us. And so I'm segueing into the differences in revelation. There's a general revelation when God reveals himself through nature, and there is a special revelation when God reveals himself through his word or through the walk of Christ. And so when God literally had me do that lesson for my class last week, I said, God revealing himself through nature is doing the impossible outside, of course. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. And matter of fact, sorry, Isaiah chapter 55, and then we'll go to Psalms 19. Verse 8, verse 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. However, in verse 10, he talks about the rain and the snow. Nobody makes it rain. Nobody makes it snow. God's general revelation through nature. It's that simple. Sometimes we really get into revelation and we like, oh, this big revelation. No, it can be that simple. Who makes it rain? Do you do? No. Clearly someone else does. In general revelation and in special revelation and revelation period, we see God Adonai, Master, and we see God El Shaddai, God Almighty. And so in general revelation, we see Adonai, Creator, Master, the person over everything. We see God saying that I make it rain, I make it snow, I make it hail. We also see, we definitely see an example of God's general revelation every time it rains. Even in the midst of a tsunami, somebody's going to see a rainbow somewhere. And we know what that means, that that's God promised that he'll never flood the earth again. And so we understand, or he'll never consume the earth again by water. Let me be clear. We understand that God does pour himself into nature. Nobody creates clouds. Nobody gets up there and paints clouds. God shows himself all the Master, Adonai, who controls the sun and the moon? Who created the sun and the moon? Amen? And so when we ask God to reveal things to us, sometimes his general revelation has already been put in our face. If you think about through nature, we have children naturally, those of us that have children, and those of us that have grandchildren. And it's even as small as being thankful for seeing your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I know I talk about my dad a lot, you guys, but I watched that when I had my daughter. When I was younger, my father, you could see that he didn't have the assurance that he was going to see his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. And so now he walks with an assurance because he's seen his great-grandchildren. And he might even, maybe later, get to see a great-great, right? And so the Lord can really bless you in your faith, and we miss it. Through that general revelation, through nature. Sometimes we take advantage of the fact that all these plants give off oxygen that we don't see, that we need to breathe every single day. And we don't say thank you for that small general revelation. Sometimes we want the big special general. Lord, I want you to write on my wall and tell me what's up. And we don't think about the small little piece of flower that provides that little piece of oxygen for you to breathe. And so we want God to move in a big, big, big way. And God moves all the time as Master and Creator. It's up to us to be able to be humble enough to see it. Amen. Special revelation. When God speaks through his word, and when God spoke through Jesus' ministry. Specifically, the biggest thing with special revelation is that everybody's revelation is not going to be the same. In special revelation, it specifically says through God's word. So if it's not connected to God's word, then it can't be God revealing himself. God's always going to show him being some type of attribute, immutable, not changing, everlasting, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, always there. At some point, you are going to see a manifestation of God in a revelation. I remember when God revealed to me that my mother was not going to live, and I didn't know what God wanted me to do for that, and I began to be sad, naturally. And God said, no, I want you to get up and I want you to write her obituary. And I want you to write exactly what I tell you. And this was before my walk with Christ had gotten larger and before I had intentionally said, yes, Lord, I'm going to work for you every single day. This was in a space where I was living in a world where I was one foot in and one foot out, literally, one foot in, one foot out, 2014. And the Lord really wanted me to understand, and he wanted to to get my attention in general revelation, but it wasn't working. And so, you know, I would see these signs and see these things, and God would say things, and I would see it in nature, and it would literally catch my eye, and I would ignore it. And then one day I literally had a dream, and I envisioned her being passed away. And I got up, and of course, again, like I said, I was, you know, scared and weeping and everything. And he said, no, 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 I want you to write her obituary. And I wrote it. And God was preparing me for something. God was preparing me for my ministry. Of course, he was preparing me to get ready to bury her and be in grief and that type of thing. But he was getting me ready for my ministry. And sometimes our humanity, we think about our humanity and we think that it doesn't match up with our ministry, but God wants to meet us in our humanity. In the general revelation, he does. He wants us to be able to see him outside and be thankful for him outside, because now he knows that you have his attention, that he has your attention, that you want his attention, that somehow you want something from him, and that's when he wants to reveal things to you. God is not a forceful God, if you will. Now, he's serene. He means exactly what he says. But he's not going to force you into a decision to pay attention to him. He's going to just keep dropping those subtle signs. And he's going to say, hey, hey, hey. Unless God is providing great provision. And sometimes God provision looks like not fun. Sometimes God's provision looks like being by yourself. It's interesting that Pastor brought up being alone. Sometimes God's provision and the revelation that he wants you to understand is that you have to solely depend on me to get this done. The ministry that you think you're supposed to be doing is a part of a greater ministry that I planned for you. And so sometimes we do need that special revelation, but again, you all, I don't want you to miss that general revelation that God gives in nature, that he is Adonai, that he's creator, that he's supreme over all of creation. And so sometimes just understanding Adonai gives you that key to humility. Of course, when you get to the special revelation, you know, we all want to hear from God. Now, to be fair, we all do have a chance and an opportunity and a gateway to get to God. We have the Holy Spirit. Once we accept Jesus and we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow your way as good as I can, but you got to help me and hold my hand. Let's be real. You got to hold my hand, Lord. He asks the Holy Spirit. Here we go. And so why, sometimes I'm like, I got to hear from God right then. Well, you ignore the God, that's the piece of God that you have. And you're just like, you're not talking to me, Lord. You're not listening to me, homegirl. And so we really have to slow down. Sometimes I am not. Everybody knows, and as you can hear in my voice, sometimes you have to slow down. I'm a very fast-paced person. And you have to slow down and understand what God wants you to understand about himself. God hides what he wants to hide, and God reveals what he wants to reveal. And we can't get caught up in trying to control that, because we don't. We're not Adonai. We're not El Shaddai, God Almighty. We don't say what goes and what comes. And he spoke things into existence. He didn't have to lift a finger. Amen. All right. In Psalms chapter 19, David gives great distinction as to general revelation and special revelation. And so in verses 1 through the general revelation, where God talks about he designed the heavens, he designed the skies. And then in verses 7 through 11, he talks about him being God Almighty, El Shaddai, my law being unchangeable. And he also says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When you deal with general revelation, sometimes it's just the things that you can see, right? Special revelation speaks to your heart. That's how God restores your mind and restores your spirit. And in a sense, restores the things that he has for you. remember that God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but you have to open up your heart and allow him to carve those things out that don't belong. The things that people have said about you that don't match, God wants that out of there. With the things that that people have revealed to you and not God, that you have listened to, God wants that out of there. God wants you to understand that in him is your refuge and your strength. In him is your assurance. So nobody needs to reveal themselves to you. You need to humble yourself so God can reveal himself and you pay attention to his revelation, not yours. Amen. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 54, we see general revelation and special revelation at its finest. Okay? This is where Jesus is on the cross, and God essentially, oh, I lost my bag, sorry. Essentially turned his back on him, if you will, quote unquote. And Jesus, it portrayed a picture that showed us that God is true to his word entirely. Verse 45, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Verse 50, then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and awe at that happened. And all that happened, they said, this man truly was the Son of God. At that time, general revelation, the rock split open, the curtain ripped in two. It was complete darkness. Mark says that. And special revelation, the prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus has now conquered death. And so what we have to understand is sometimes God wants us to have general and special revelation at the same time. Our humanity gets in the way of that. That ain't what that is, Lord. Talk to me again. And so it does not say that God is he's going to keep repeating his revelation and repeat. No, it says, hey, I am that I am that I am. And I said what I said and I said it. So believe it. Why do you doubt? Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. I am your refuge and strength. I will provide for you in front of your enemies. That's a real revelation. When God showed me that and he literally allowed me to be in the midst of my quote-unquote enemies, if you will, and to understand how my growth has put me in a space where he's provided me to be able to sit there, I have to tell him thank you. When God reveals things to us, we have to receive it with a humble spirit. God wants us to have so much of us. He wants us to be up under him. He wants us to completely be indulged in Adonai and completely be indulged in El Shaddai. He wants us to know him. Because not only does he want us to know his moral attributes, he wants us to know his natural, the love and the peace and the forgiveness and the joy. God wants you to know that. That's why he puts himself in nature and he puts himself in the Bible for us. He gives us every opportunity and everything that we need to be able to indulge in him and to be able to live through him. Amen? The one thing that's so fascinating about what happened at the cross with the general and the special revelation is that only God could have done that. Only the person that created that could have literally did that. And because of what they saw in their faith, the special revelation was there. This has to be the Son of God. This has to be the Son of God. And I think we messed up. Amen. One thing that I want to encourage is that don't think that a pastor has to have a revelation. That's another misunderstanding. I literally had a revelation about who my husband was going to be, and it wasn't until now that I think about the conversation that God had with me back then. I was like, oh, talking to me a long time. And so sometimes we miss that. We think that it's not God. We don't give ourselves enough credit to be creditable to listen, to hear God. When you want to hear God, God's going to show up. So if you come with a humble heart and you know that, Lord, everything that I have, I want you to have it. I'm casting all of my cares on you. He's going to show up. He's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to show himself in your journey, if you will. Lord, receive it. Be humble enough to receive it. He showed himself to David. He showed himself to Abraham. All of these people were not perfect. So accept God revealing himself, even in the simplicity of nature. Sometimes it just takes the simplicity of nature to understand, you know what, there is a God. You know what, God does exist. Who did make the oxygen that I'm breathing right now? And why aren't I suffocating? Amen. Before I close, I want to give a quote. People reveal themselves so you can get to know them. God reveals himself so he can cultivate your soul for the plan of salvation. Once you accept Christ and you accept the plan of salvation, God still needs to do a work in you. It is your responsibility to be humble so you can receive that God is going to reveal himself in the smallest and the bits of pieces for you. It's not that, listen, sometimes God comes real big and real strong. And sometimes we need that. But sometimes God understands how overwhelmed we get with life. And he wants to piece it for us. Sometimes it takes tragedy for God to reveal himself. But sometimes God has been revealing himself for so long that the tragedy was all that it took to get, and it sucks. But at the same time, it might be the key to your ministry. Don't allow Satan to tell you that God cannot reveal himself to you. That is a lie. God wants to reveal himself in every situation that we face in our life. That's why he asked us to knock, to seek, to find. Come get me. Come get me. Ask me what I think. Ask me my advice. That's all revelation is. God's advice. God's advice. Amen. Before I close, I want to read a scripture, Romans chapter 15. I'm sorry for all the Bible turning today, but, you know, here we are. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. And when we specifically talk about children and your children and your grandchildren, even your nieces and nephews, don't sell yourself short if you're the person that does not have children, but you encourage your nieces and your nephews. That's a thing. Before I was a parent, I was a TT. And my nieces and nephews are 25, 26 years old, and they still call me TT because of the thing that I was able to support them with. Now, it may not all be perfect. Our relationships aren't perfect. Absolutely not. However, God was able, they should be able to see God revealed in you. They should be able to reveal something about you that connects to God for them. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow Satan to encourage you to believe that God does not want to show up in your life. And if God is already there, you have what you think is a flourishing relationship with the Holy Spirit, God wants to show up even more, and even more, and even more, and even more. So don't think because of your sin that God does not still want to show up. That's what repentance is for. Repentance says, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm going to try not to do it again, Lord, but help me try not to do it again, Lord, because I don't want to do it again, Lord, because it's against you. You got to be honest with God, because God already knows if you're not honest with him. Be honest with yourself. Yeah, Lord, I want to change this. This is something I do want to do. And be honest, because your children are watching. The children that you support are watching. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing up and showing out and having me speak up for a purpose that others may not want to touch. Thank you for the courage that you give, even through delivering your word, Lord, and thank you for the courage that you gave the children to participate today, Lord, and thank you for the courage that you give your listeners, Lord, and your believers, Lord, for them to know that one day you will show up and you will show out in whatever situation they need. Lord, reveal yourself tremendously to every family represented here. And I ask that you continue to bless everyone with not only general revelation, Lord, but give special revelation to whatever it is that is just you want them to know, Lord. But before you give the revelation, Lord, allow them to be mature enough and to be humble enough and to be eager enough to accept it and be discerning enough to know that you get the glory in the end. Thank you again for every blessing that you give on a regular basis, and I ask again that you bless everyone that participated today. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Preach.
And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt
Preach.
Condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Preach.
And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it, pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign. Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's frightened. Crying about life ain't nothing. The one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind waiting on the Lord. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations you never let us down. Jesus, I know you're here with us now. Jesus, I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I wanna feel, show me how. Please let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Lord, give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never. I'm gonna get because I try.
What?
I won't quit until I die.
What?
I'm gonna
Give Me a Sign. You know, every time I hear that song, I was a huge DMX fan back in the day, and I never heard that song. And so my very first time hearing it was when Pastor played it a couple years ago. And every time I hear it, I just think about a person who was super talented, was super clear about everything that he said, but he's no longer here with us. So it's just, I love to hear that song. You know, that was a totally different side of DMX. You know, if any, you know, knows him a little older school, you know, his raps were a little bit different, but I never heard that song, and I thought it was pretty awesome because we normally don't hear secular rappers preaching or not preaching, but rapping about Jesus. So I always thought that was a pretty cool song. So thank you, Pastor, for playing that. It was a great song for Youth Saturday. And today has been a great day. Amen. I am super pressed for time because I am on the clock doing something else today. So y'all are going to get really quick announcements. But again, we are so thankful for this day. We are thankful for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought us an amazing word. And she's deep. My sister, she's deep. Okay. The Lord is taking her there. Okay. And the words that she brings to us are awesome and super edifying, and she's just amazing, and we're so thankful for her at Run for Christ Ministries. We've seen her growth over the years, and then when she accepted her I'm a pastor certificate, she's been rocking it ever since. And so we are so grateful and thankful for the word that she brought to us today and the time that she took being a teacher, a wife, a mom, and a dog parent. Amen. Her plate is super full. Not to mention she teaches the youth and the young people at Run for Christ Ministry. So her plate is super, super full. But the time that she took to prepare for the message and deliver the message is something we are very grateful for. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Sarah, for the awesome message today. Again, happy Saturday to everyone. It is the fourth Saturday in the month of September. It is Youth Saturday. We do want to make sure that we say thank you to the youth who were serving today. I don't want to mess up any names, so I'm going to say Innocent Williams, Isaiah Johnson, and Anasia Hunter. I hope I got those names right. Amen. Cat texted to me, and we just want to make sure, again, that we acknowledge our youth, and we are so grateful for the time that they took to participate in service. And it's something that we have to teach our children to put God first. Amen. And so we're so thankful for their service today. It's always awesome to hear the young people come on. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, September 24th, we will have our Sunday school class beginning at 9 a.m. with Assistant Pastor Janice Tate as the teacher, and we will continue on with our praise team leading us in songs as we proceed into our worship service beginning at 10 a.m. Based on the calendar that's on the church website, I believe Pastor Jonathan Tate is going to be bringing the word tomorrow because it is Fourth Sunday. Doesn't matter who's bringing the word, just come to church. Amen. So obviously, everyone is welcome to join us. We are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium, so come on out. Amen. Please don't forget, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. Textbook is required for the class, so if you plan on being in attendance, you do need a book. The books are available on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click the Bible classes tab to purchase the book. And make sure to read the assignment before the class. The questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. Deacon Charles Tate will be teaching this week with a lesson entitled Ehud Frees Israel. Amen. So make sure you get your book, read your assignment, answer your questions, and be ready for class on Wednesday. Amen. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. So please make sure to join in on the discussion that happens about our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Don't forget to check our church website again, rfcm.org. Use it for yourself for whatever you need it for, and make sure to share it with others. Don't be selfish. Amen. We have classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, again, available to you all for free. So make sure to share. Amen. Like Pastor O used to say, it's only fair to share. Amen. If you would like to pay tithes or give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the church website. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. And if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Sarah Kate McClendon, who brought the word today, feel free to do so on our church website. There is a spot on there where it says preacher offerings. I believe she has a Cash App if you're more comfortable with that. If not, no problem. You can always go, again, through the church website, rfcm.org. Just hit tithes and offerings, and you'll be able to notate that your love offering is for Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, and we will see to it that she receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with her on today. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Amen. Listen up, young people. Amen. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, young people, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, as we know, are not always in the form of money or material things, even though those things are great. Amen. A kind word is a way that you can bless someone, because that goes a long way. The gift of love is free. Me loving you and you loving me really doesn't cost much. Amen. It's free. A warm smile is the universal language of kindness. Nobody wears any masks anymore, so we should be able to smile at each other. You never know how, you know, you might warm someone's heart by smiling. You never know what somebody is going through. And smiling and just taking that millisecond to turn your frown muscles upside down, to turn it into a smile, can be huge for someone. And it could be the only thing that touches their life on that day. Amen. And so just take time out to be some sunshine, somebody in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. So we will ask that you please continue to keep everyone everywhere, all the time, lift it up in your prayers. Amen. Continue to pray for Deaconess Mary Tate's sister, Doris Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Shirley, and Mother Persia. Pray continuously for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks. It was great to hear her voice this morning. Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, and his mom, Keela. Brother Ed Johnson and Deaconess Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family. Again, all those Maui, Hawaii, wildfires, Morocco, Libya. There's destruction going on all over the world. Amen. And so just continue to pray for those who've lost loved ones, lost their homes. You know, we here in the United States, we are very, very, very rich in so many ways. You know, it's a big deal if something floods here. You know, a lot of us have insurance. We can get things replaced. We can get things fixed. But when you're talking about places like Morocco and Libya and in Africa and a lot of third world countries, you know, their houses are not made like our houses here. If a wind blows too hard, that's it. Okay, so we're a very rich country here, and so we really need to consider and think about those in those other countries who are not rich like we are. Amen. When they have a natural disaster come through, it is truly, truly a disaster, and all without the opportunity, without assistance to be able to rebuild. So let's just remember to keep all of these countries and these people lifted up in our prayers. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who provide care to others, nurses, doctors, all those who serve in the medical field, those in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. A lot of people have had loved ones be in nursing homes and long-term care facilities. And when you're on the other side of that, it's truly not easy to deal with. And so we definitely need to pray for those who are responsible for providing care to people. And we also need to make sure that we're praying for those who are there, because a lot of them don't have loved ones or anyone to come and check on them. And they are basically left to the staff and all staff is not created equal. Amen. So we definitely need to continue to pray for those in nursing facilities and hospice care. Please continue to pray for all the teachers, staff, and students. School for everybody is underway. Amen. So we need to continue to lift up administrators, teachers, staff, anyone that has anything to do with making sure our kids come and go, whether you are a preschool teacher, kindergarten teacher, or if you are a professor of college students, amen, we need to continue to pray for everyone in the educational system and the educational system in and of itself. Amen. Continue to pray for all of our leaders in our communities, from locally here, our mayors and city council people. Y'all know I'm not political, so I don't really know what they're called. But and all the way to Washington, where our president, our vice president, Senate, Congress, all those people. Election year, I think, is coming up, and I'm already seeing commercials, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, PTSD, here we go again. Okay, so let's just continue to pray for all of those who have the rule over us. Amen. Please make sure to continue to pray for your pastors who shepherd you, amen, and as you follow them, as they're following Christ, just continue to uplift them. Pastors have it hard. People assume that, oh, you're a pastor, you get up in the pulpit on a Sunday or Saturday, or whatever day you preach, and you know, get up there, you talk for a little while, and then you go sit down and go about your life. No, pastors have a big, ginormous, moving target on them all of the time, and they deal with so much more than those of us who are not pastors have no idea. So we really need to pray for our pastors and those who are shepherds over us. Amen. And we also ask that you continue to pray for all of those who are mourning and grieving and bereaved, amen, all over the world, because it is absolutely nonstop. Amen. So we do have a bereavement announcement for Run for Christ Ministry. So our prayers go out to our own Deacon Eric Reed and the loss of his cousin. So the name I have listed is Daryl Kemp, but I believe the name is Danielle. My son had mentioned it to me before I even got the announcement, and he was talking to me about it, and he screenshot him and the young man used to follow each other on social media. So he screenshot his name, and I believe it's Danielle, D-E-N-N-E-L-L, Kemp. He was 18 years old of E-Course, and he was shot and killed on Monday. So please just keep his mother and the family in your prayers. Like Pastor O was saying, our young people have a right to be able to live. They have the right to be able to grow up in healthy and happy environments where they can flourish, where they can grow, where they can, you know, be benefits to other people, and their lives are just being taken from them before they even have a chance to just stand up straight. So we really, really, really need to continue to pray for our children, that they just be lifted up to the Lord and just be able to grow up and have a life. And it's not just a family or loved ones of when you hear about a child being killed, whether it's a baby or a teenager. You know, there is just so much collateral damage that happens when that type of situation occurs. When my son came home and told me, I don't know this family, I don't know the young man, but my son is 19. So if that doesn't make you feel some kind of way, when your kid comes home and talks about how it makes them feel some kind of way, like there is just collateral damage all over the place when these things happen. Watching the news, reading social media, whether it's a newspaper article, whatever, it makes us all feel some kind of way, and it's over and over and over again. So we really need to continue to pray for our young people. So please keep this young man's family and his friends in your prayers. Also, along with the Alexander family and just so many others who are going through bereavement. Amen. So on a lighter note, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week or this month. Amen. Brother Ed Johnson on the 1st, Mother Persia on the 2nd, Dion, Pastor O's daughter, on the 5th, Deacon Oliver Welch on the 11th, Vice Chairman Deacon Charles McMahon Mackey on the 12th, Chairman of our Deacon Board, Deacon Charles Tate on the 14th, the awesome Pastor O on the 15th, Nakia on the 21st, and Deaconess Kathy celebrated her birthday yesterday on the 22nd. I don't have any other birthdays that run for Christ Ministry, so somebody always pops up and tell me, hey, don't forget this person. So if it's your birthday, happy birthday. Amen. Amen. And last but not least, it's your devotional. And this one was super perfect. The Holy Spirit, you know, he's always on his job. You can take that check to the bank. Amen. The Holy Spirit is on his job all the time. So this is an awesome devotional. It's by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I love his devotions. And it is entitled, Even Me. Amen. So it reads, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And that is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So it says, in my college days, I was a relatively young Christian. All the things I was reading in the Bible were new and exciting to me, and I was growing spiritually like a weed. One day in our Sunday morning Bible study class, someone sang for our group of about 120 college students. It was a familiar song to so many, but new to me, and it spoke so powerfully to my heart. So the lyrics go, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Isn't that a great thought to meditate on? Jesus loves me. Even me. So this is kind of why this is really great for young people, but for everybody, even those of us who are low season Christians, we have to be reminded that Jesus loves even us. Amen. So I think many of us struggle truly believing that Jesus loves even me. So why? Because we know ourselves. That's why. We know how frail and faulty we are. We know what we did last week, last month, last summer. We all can put a last on something, last night, last minute, all of that, okay? We know how we have failed the Lord with our sins and selfishness. Yet the truth of the song stands. Jesus still loves us. The cross of Christ proves it. Paul said, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God's love for you and me is not dependent on our good works. It is dependent on his amazing grace. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. On my best day, he loved even me. And on my very worst day, he loved even me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Have you ever noticed that the Apostle John never refers to himself by name in the Gospel of John? Rather, on four occasions, in John chapter 13, verse 23, John chapter 20, verse 2, John chapter 21, verse 7, and chapter 21, verse 20, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why did he do that? Was it a boast? Was he saying, look at me, I'm so special, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved the most? Not hardly. It was not a statement of pride. It was a statement of awe. Can you believe it? Jesus loves even me. What if you began to see yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved and loves? What would that do to your heart and to your mind? How would that change your outlook on life, on hardships, and on trials? It is really true that Jesus loves even me and even you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 makes this fact abundantly clear. So rest in his love, a love that will never let us go. Amen. See Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39 for more on that. You are not serving God for acceptance. You are serving God from acceptance. The moment we trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, we are accepted in the beloved. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and the beloved is Jesus. The great theologian, Dr. Karl Barth, was once asked this significant question. Dr. Barth, if you could sum up your theology in a single sentence, what would it be? Dr. Barth responded with the words of a simple song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So no doubt this is the greatest truth of all. He loves even me. Amen? So young people, no matter what the world tells you, no matter what social media tells you, sometimes no matter even what your family and friends tells you, Jesus loves you. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Couldn't make it any plainer than that. Yeah,
can't get
you.
It broke down no further. Amen. You're welcome.
Oh, you know, I'm not going to even start with Sarah. I'm just.
Please don't.
You know, it's like
she's
been hiding. It's like she's been hiding from preaching for 50 years. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That was the word.
And
that message she preached is a deep message, and that came straight from the Holy Spirit. Okay, all of them do.
Amen.
That the only God can reveal, wow, only God can reveal that kind of stuff to you. But he said it in James 4. He said, come near to me and I'll come near to you. I think she found out what to come near to him means, that you get to see things. You get to hear things that you never heard, never saw before. Some things are like what Paul saw, so wonderful you can't even hardly talk about it. People
talk
will
about
think
it.
You're completely gone. You know, so I'm not going to even start.
Lord, have
that.
Mercy. No, nope, don't even
know,
go there.
To be that younger preacher and the Lord to drop you down into a sermon like that. And see, church, a lot of folks think church is for unsaved people, and we preach till they jump up and say, I want to be saved, but that's not it. Okay, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if somebody happens who is unsaved to come into the church. I'm like, so wait a minute, who is church for? Paul said in the beginning of every one of his letters and anybody who ever wrote to the church, not to the lost, not to the unsaved, but to the church. So what she did is what I see Dr. Tony Evans do this morning. If people won't come to Bible class, boom, put it right in the worship service where they do.
Amen.
You come to the worship,
y'all gonna
boom.
Get this
I
word.
Got you.
Y'all gonna get this Bible.
I got you.
Y'all gonna get it.
So you call that preach teaching? See, she got me going. Anyway,
amen.
Crystal,
got you going.
Thank
amen.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Between you know, y'all guys is really those kids. You know, you said the name, so I ain't gonna even try to mess them up. But Cash kids are some awesome kids, and, you know,
they sure are.
Amen. And what she's doing is, you know, if angels in heaven, they got special protectors. The angels, Jesus said, watch out how you treat these kids because they got angels who watch over them. Okay, and so I know the Lord loves what she is doing with those kids, and I cannot thank God enough. You know, and that's all it takes is training them up in the way they should go. And you know what you end up with? A mirror. Somebody who's been raised in the Lord.
Help them, Lord.
You end up with somebody who can talk to God on their own, somebody who has a personal relationship with God on their own, and you don't have to force fit it. It's just what they saw. It's like Sarah was saying in her sermon that we're examples to them, and they're like sponges sucking up whatever it is we're putting out. So be careful
about
what you're putting out. Anyway, she got me twisted.
Amen.
Anyway, thank you, Crystal.
You're
always awesome. You know it's awesome people waiting around for announcers. That's what I think is awesome. Who does that?
Amen. Who does that? Thank you. I appreciate my audience. Amen.
Who does that? Well, I ain't even yet. Why? I ain't heard the announcements yet. Announcements with plus.
Amen. Yeah, you never know who's listening, and this is my opportunity to say what I need to say so I can earn my treasure in heaven. I'm going to get a big old paycheck. You never know who's listening. You never know who hears what you're saying. That's why Blog Talk Radio is very important, because it might seem very insignificant. It might seem very small, but you just never know. This is going around the world, and so many people are hearing this, and you've said it to us before. You've given us numbers before, and, you know, countries and places and people who we wouldn't even think would be hearing this is hearing this, and it's going to be here even where we're not. During the tribulation period, when the church has been raptured, this word is still going to be here going around. So Blog Talk Radio is very, very important. This is nothing small that we do every week. So I'm blessed Amen. To be a part of it, and I'm so thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord.
The people in South Korea, thank you. The people in the United Kingdom, thank you. The people in Brazil, Amen. Thank you. And the people
That's
in
huge.
Japan, thank you. And all the
that
people in Africa and everywhere else, India, everywhere else. I can't, and even the few
That's
people
huge.
Who listen to us in Russia, okay, and in
wow.
Finland, okay, United Kingdom,
wow.
Germany, Romania, you know, God has taken us to places. Amen. And
Amen.
The word is going
That's
there.
Huge.
And when you're growing in places like that, that's awesome. So. We thank God for,
Amen.
That,
get
for
them
the words that they get. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
tell me I say what's up.
You know I will. Amen.
Amen. Wow, where's my switchboard? Okay. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you. Now, real quick, you may have heard me mention last Wednesday, and some people asked about it. Yes, there's going to be a new Bible class coming up. It's going to start on, I believe, November 27th. I believe that's a Monday. It's going to be a 4 or 5 week Bible class, and the book we're going to be used is called Biblical Giving. Every year at Running for Christ Ministries, I preach Faith, Finances, and You. This year, Jesus wants to do something different. He wants it taught, and so we're going to use my book. And to keep things above board, if you already have the book at Running for Christ Ministries, good. You already had a textbook. You'll get the review questions in time. If you don't have the book and you're a member of Running for Christ or you regularly attend our services, then the book will be free for you. All you have to do is go to my email, revgmo@comcast.net. Let me know you need a free book to attend the class, and I'll see to it that you get one for free. And the reason I'm doing it that way is so that my wife and I are not accused of using Running for Christ Ministries to enrich ourselves by selling our books to classes we create. You'd be surprised what people will say. So that's not said, if you're a member of Running for Christ or you regularly attend Running for Christ at least twice a month, the book will be free for you. I just need to know you need it and you're going to attend the class. This is not a book to catch dust in your house. This is a book for the class. So if you need it for the class, revgmo@comcast.net. If you forgot that, can't remember that, pastorgmo.com. Okay, click contact and you'll get that same information right there. Send me an email, say, Pastor, I need the book for the class. Some of you already have the book. It's called Biblical Giving. Amen. So that'll be our Faith, Finances, and You for this year. Since I wrote the book, Jesus wants to do it that way. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And don't forget the information you just got. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Janice Tate for that awesome Saturday church school. Thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, who brought those awesome kids in to make the Lord just dance all over heaven. And thank God for the preached word from Pastor Sarah Tate. Amen. McClendon. Lord have mercy. Big shout out to her husband, James. Amen. Got to be proud to have a wife like Joyce Meyer in your house. Amen. Amen. And what some blessed kids. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Everybody have an awesome day. And Crystal, you know what's up. Amen. God bless you. This is a song by Brian T. And it asks a series of questions. How many of y'all remember the question is by the Winans? Well, this is Brian Trejo, okay, who his whole family is involved in ministry, okay, song and rap ministry. But anyway, this song's asked a series of questions. It simply says, who told you? Amen. See you later.
Man, I wish somebody would have told me the truth a long time ago. Nobody sat me down and say, look, this ain't that and that ain't this. I was deceived for so long. It's only right that I expose all this deception in the mighty name of Jesus. Carry on, young soldier. Listen.
Who told you gangsters go to heaven? Huh? Who told you money make you real? Tell me, who told you pistols make you tough? And you don't see all the dead bodies on the field? Man, who said that mercy's for the weak? Who said forgiveness is for chumps? They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, a soldier dies but once. Hey, they mourn you for a week and they forget you in a month. Who told you God doesn't exist? Who told you God was just a myth? Who planted seeds of disbelief inside your mind so you could trip? Hey, who told you Jesus doesn't love you? Who said you couldn't be forgiven? Do you not know how much he loves you? Listen, do you not know the king is risen? Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. This truth will hit you hard and knock you flat down on your back. Who told you Christian rap was whack? Whoever said that man was whack. This truth hit you so hard and knock you flat down on your back. Hey, two things either happen. Hey, one, you gon' get mad and hate me for correcting you, for pointing out what's bad. Or two, you get convicted and cry out because you sad and ask God to forgive you for the trespasses you had. You either run to him or run from him, and I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. You run to him or run from him. I just pray you come to him. Put down all your blunts and guns and you say, Lord, I'm done with this. Everything they told me was a lie, and man, I know that now. It's only right we hit the streets and we expose that now. And dirty devil should've killed me. And Holy Spirit, come and seal me. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Fill me with new strength again, now I'm feeling new inside. Lord, I abide in you and follow you where you abide. Hey, I confide in you with confidence, my Lord, cause greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world, ay. I confide in you with confidence, my Lord. Greater is he who lives in me than he who's of this world. Who told you God couldn't be trusted? Man, I'm trying to tell you, you could trust him. He loves you deeply, please believe me. He hates to see his children suffering. See, I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that he's the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless. I don't know what all they told you, and I don't even know who told you. I just know that Christ the answer, he gets hope, man, to the hopeless, yeah. Who told you?